mighty good to see you doing fine. And although it's been a long, long time, I still find that you're heavy on my mind.
@844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. By the way, we have a set of two Milwaukee Brewer tickets for the game on this Friday. The Brewers are hosting the San Francisco Giants this weekend. And so, listen, it's the San Francisco Giants. You know how rare it is for the Brewers to play the San Francisco Giants in Milwaukee? That's a great opportunity. We're going to be giving away a set of two tickets today and two tickets tomorrow. If you are caller number three, you will receive those tickets. Civic Media is the flagship. The Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM, 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley. Listeners can also catch the Brewers at WRCE News from the center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. Again, caller number three, a pair of tickets. To the Milwaukee Brewers versus the San Francisco Giants on this Friday. Caller number three. I wanted to talk about this phenomenon. And I keep talking about this all the time, about baby boomers. And this is an article that was in the Associated Press this morning. Aging American baby boomers push the nation's median age higher as fewer children are born. So, you know, we keep on hammering on this thing that people should be aware of, and as, you know, the American people, we need to start becoming more and more aware that there are less children being born and that the population in this country is aging rapidly. And so there are going to be less people, younger people, to take care of this aging population. It's not a phenomenon anymore. It's real. And so the United States is growing older. We're not talking about China. We know China is growing older, but China's not growing older alone. The United States of America is growing older. The United States grew older faster last decade. The share of residents 65 or older grew by more than a third, from 2010 to 2020. And at the fastest rate of any decade in 130 years. Think about that. fastest rate in 25 years. That so many of the population, the people of this nation, are aging at such a rapid rate, and people aren't having children as fast. So that is something that I'm going to continue to talk about on the air, and I think that most of us should really be focused on that. And my guest has just made it in the studio, State Representative Dora Drake. Good morning to you. How are you, Smiley?
Good morning. I am.
All right. Can you hear me?
You know what? Not through the headphones. No.
Okay. So hang on. It's one of these. Yeah. Yeah, you'll find it.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I can hear you.
All right.
There we go.
All right. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. It's good to have you in the studio.
It's good to be here. I think this is the first time I'm here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. First off, how long have you been a representative?
So this would be my third year, starting my second term. So I was elected in 2020 during the pandemic, which is probably the craziest time to ever decide to get involved in politics, but probably also one of the most important decisions, too, given what we were dealing with.
So now that you're there, and mm-hmm. now that you've been there for several years, because you guys didn't bother to work last year because...
Now, Democrats were willing to work. Let's not do that one, okay?
Well, I was going to clarify, but it wasn't your choice, but you got to pass.
Right.
What are your thoughts? You know, it's kind of a crazy place now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you walked into a situation where we think that politically people should be able to work mm-hmm. together in a representative government that we, the people who elect people to represent us, that mm-hmm. somehow the things that we need will wind up happening to benefit the people.
That's what
all of this is about. Mm-hmm. We talk about the government, we the people, but it's not working in that manner. So what have you been able to garner in this short period of time that you've been a representative as mm-hmm. far as the other side of things?
Right. So I think to your first point, though, you know, the government should be reflective of the will of the people, right? And I think what's so frustrating is, you know, our state's still one of the most gerrymandered states in the country, right? So when gerrymandering is, you know, evident, it's
the
much,
rule of the day.
Well, exactly. It is a lot harder to actually push policy that is actually reflective of what the will of people of Wisconsin want. And that's a true testament because I believe last session only 1 or 2% of bills that had Democratic authors even got a hearing, right? So it's not even a bill that was executed or voted on the floor. This was just if it was to get a hearing. In that same regard, at least in what I was able to learn, accomplish so far, I was really big on making sure that constituent services were addressed firsthand. You know, we were getting phone calls on not having unemployment claims being addressed quicker, and that was something that we helped expedite and resolved. And also making sure people had access to resources. In terms of policy, I actively try to find ways to find policies that could help move things forward.
So here's why I wanted to have you mm-hmm. Here. Because there's some things going on in this country on state levels that are absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
And that are totally in opposition to working together to address issues.
Right.
The Alabama Board of Education bombarded complaints about too much Black history in schools. Now listen.
Right-wing
activists are trying to crack down on the discussion of Black history in Alabama textbooks, reported, AL.com on Thursday. Earlier this year, the State Board of Educators approved English language arts textbooks for kindergarten through third grade after a public hearing where critics suggested the books had too much black history and multicultural stories for children in the first grade, reported Gemma Stevenson. These books had already been delayed after they were originally meant to be adopted in 2022. We've got something similar in the state of Wisconsin where people are saying, we want to control what goes on, what kids are taught.
Absolutely. And this started even last session. So if you guys remembered, we had a lot of school board members that were being challenged for how they were, not only what they were teaching in the schools, but also for health protocols, right? And so there's a huge push on trying to remove any critical race theory, right? That was what was being, quote unquote, debated. I say debated because it was slighted. In terms of saying, oh, this is something that is too radical, this and the other. And we're like, no, critical race theory is simply teaching the history in chronological order in every capacity, the good, bad, and ugly, right? And so if we're serious about knowing our country's history, we have to come to terms and reconciliation with what happened with slavery. Like, that's just what it is. But even CRT isn't even being taught in our schools.
So listen, we've got to go to a break. My guest is Dora Drake. She is a state representative for the city of Milwaukee. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. That same number. My guest is State Representative Dora Drake from the city of Milwaukee. And so, Representative Drake, I wanted to, all of these conversations that have been going on at the state level about revenue sharing, that many of us don't have a clue about what it is that is in the bill. And at some point in time, if Robin Voss gets his way, there'll be a referendum that we'll have to vote on that we don't know what's in it. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have been able to find out that are in that bill that will tell the city of Milwaukee and put parameters on, and Milwaukee County, on the representation that we voted into leadership, but they're going to tell our mayor and our county executive what they have to do in order to get this money, as if they're talking to 5-year-old children.
Yeah. So There's a lot on the bill. For first off, it's a 133-page document that only the members of the committee for local government only had 3 days, I think, technically, to even reveal a scope of that bill and then to have a public hearing the following, like, 3 days. So quick turnaround. But the contents of the bill, for folks that don't know, with shared revenue, you know, the reason why our county executive and mayor went to state leadership is because due to our pension obligations and because of a lack of Republican leadership to address shared revenue for several years now, because Democrats have been pushing this issue, you know, for a long time, we are at a point where we could potentially go insolvency. When I say insolvency, it's because we don't have any way in our state statutes to allow any municipality to clear bankruptcy. So that's how dire it is. So with the sales tax and with the origin of the bill, the sales tax is to help alleviate and give a little bit more flexibility for spending for local municipalities, as well as any new hires to the city or county to be under our state pension versus the city and county pension. Those that are currently already city and county employees will be underneath that pension until it no longer is required. But in exchange for those funds, there's a lot of strings attached that a lot of us, including myself, have heartburn about. Some of those provisions would have changed actually the determination for the amount. Let me break it down. So in terms of our schools, there will be 25 school resource offices, school resource officers in our schools, and those will be determined by reporting that has to be dictated from the hours, I think, from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. on any type of criminal incidents that happen on that schools. That's one provision.
At least 100 new police law enforcement officers.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that. Right. So for officers, it would be at least 100 new officers, and I believe it's a little bit more or less for firefighters. There would be a required amount where we have to maintain certain officers and firefighters, and if we ever went beneath that, then the city and the county will lose some of those funds from shared revenue. For contracting purposes, as having race neutral language on that, except for federal contracts. So meaning that, you know, obviously there's no true incentive to ensure that there is a push to invest in DEI efforts around contracting. Right. Some other things that are in the bill.
So before you go any further,
the
fact that what they're really talking about is beginning to do away with affirmative action.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's
that is something that is happening across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that we've reached the quotas,
right,
and now it's time to turn back the hand of time, because this is discriminatory,
right,
to whites. The fact that you are trying to give blacks preferential treatment,
mm-hmm,
which if you look at the extended period of time that this has been occurring, to say that now we've caught up,
mm-hmm,
you know.
But what's even funny is the people that have, I think, benefited the most from DEI efforts are white women.
Yes.
So this impacts everybody in a way where we are truly moving backwards, you know, and I'm a firm believer that when it comes to local government, there should be no strings attached, especially to the amount of strings attached from Milwaukee.
So hold that thought. We've got to go to a break.
Okay.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Representative Dora Drake of Milwaukee. And so, Representative Drake, when you know, like many of us know, the outcome, if this referendum, if it goes to referendum, mm-hmm. and it fails, the city where you and I live will become devastated.
And just to really like break it down for folks and what that means, for the first year, we're already looking at probably at least 300 law enforcement.
300
like
less law enforcement
At
officers.
Least half of our firehouses will be shut down. We'll only have one library, and that'll be central. And that's just the start. It's because we'll have to start making cuts. In terms of, because this would be unprecedented, that also means that the services that people call for, whether it's like neighborhood improvement or picking up garbage, fixing potholes, those services still have to, quote unquote, still be provided because it's mandated. But that means that you may not have your garbage picked up for like two weeks or maybe even a month, especially when it starts snowing and, you know, the back alleys get covered with snow. That may take a lot longer, too. And that's just the start. And so then if we have to continue making cuts, it could get to a point where either the city and the county will have to go to the state to have someone appointed to work through some of those, or even potentially having a federal judge be the appointee person to addressing the debt until it's taken care of, meaning just starting cutting.
So when you talk about, let's just pick the garbage pickup.
Yeah.
The fact that garbage would not be picked up for a couple weeks means the neighborhood's overrun with rodents.
Yep. We're talking about public health. We're talking about increase of all that. Yep.
And yet, so when I'm a property owner, a taxpayer, and my argument is I don't want to see that happen.
Right.
We're doing our share, those of us mm-hmm. who are property owners and taxpayers. We're doing our share. We should expect that, you know, the state of Wisconsin to do its share.
Right.
The fact that we're the economic engine of the state, mm-hmm. and it looks as though the Republicans are trying to crush that,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't just start trying to crush it.
Oh, this has been works in the making.
Yeah, it's been going on for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got people who seem to think that Milwaukee is sucking up all the resources from the state level. Is any of that true?
We currently, every dollar that we give to the state, we only get 27 cents back. So we're not even getting our quote-unquote due share. And a lot of where the state is at now is because of...
You mean the $7 million, $1 billion surplus.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And because we are the economic engine, it's not just due to our industries, but it's also population. So this isn't... When we're talking about shared revenue and what's happening specifically in the city of Milwaukee and County, this shouldn't be a... urban versus suburban versus rural, because...
But it is.
And it shouldn't. It's because the same thing that's going to happen to what that's currently, what's happening in the county and the city, will be the story for other communities in the next couple years. So am I glad that at least we're talking about it? Yes. But what I'm not for is having all these strings attached to get funds, especially when we have a surplus. And then on top of that, when it comes to some of the strings attached and provisions, we already have some of the worst disparities when it comes to Black and brown communities. And so to use us or to position us in a way where either way we're going to be harmed is absolutely not acceptable. You know, so I hope and continue that negotiations are going forward, but it has to benefit everybody. No one has to lose in this situation at all. It's because all of us, quite frankly, need increase in shared revenue. And that's just
the
story.
So your own individual thought on mm-hmm. it, what do you think is going to happen?
Quite frankly, I don't know. It's because so much has changed, especially at least in the assembly, right? Before we voted on the bill, we didn't even see the amended language until the day of when we had session. And then we didn't see that language until maybe 2 hours after session started. And so there are things that are, we want to obviously get to somewhere. I would love to see a solution. I truly do, because I do not want to see the city that we grew up in, that I love, that I represent, go in this path, bend the same breath, to give up some of those things in return. I don't know how you can justify that.
So for people who maybe don't make it down to Milwaukee
right.
a lot on the state level, mm-hmm. and you work with colleagues who have never been to Milwaukee, it's easy to say, let them go ahead and suffer. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, my friend? You say what?
The question I'd have for the lady with you is, how much money did Scott Walker cause the city of Milwaukee to lose?
So she's relatively new, so she would not know that, Bill.
Yeah, but you and I wouldn't.
Okay, let me develop a point.
Okay.
And when Scott Walker was around, he worked on that shared revenue to keep it away from the city. The Republicans want to keep it away from Milwaukee. Here's what I maintain.
Hey, Bill, can you explain to me, Bill, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can you explain to me why they want to keep it away from the economic engine of the state? Because if Milwaukee goes under, it won't be very long before the state of Wisconsin feels the pain of that. And every little town and hamlet will be impacted by that decision.
I'll tell you why, Earl. I'm serious. I know the answer, Earl. The answer is they want that to happen, and then they want to blame Democrats. These people are so, remember, they supported a domestic terrorist attack on the White House. They did, most of them. Not all of them, but most of them, especially the ones that are holding back the shared revenue. They support that. They want to see this country fail only so they can gain power. They realize they're a minority now. So they're using every opportunity to leverage and tip it back their way. And they think something like defund, they want the country to fail unless they can be in control. There is no in-between with those people. Now, years ago, going back to Ronald Reagan, we used to have a saying, we don't negotiate with terrorists. And I'm sorry to say, but that's what they are. They don't want our country to succeed. They believe in no investing in infrastructure, no investing in public education, no investing in public transportation. It's about them and their agenda. And once we understand that, we at least know what we're dealing with. Hey. And once we know what we're dealing with, we know how to work. Just bottom line is they got to be strong-armed out of the system.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, Dora, he's mainly speaking to a national phenomenon,
right?
An organized effort. Because what is taking place in the state of Wisconsin is taking place
in
other states across the nation. It's an organized effort that Republicans have put together.
Right.
And he's absolutely correct to really kind of destroy government as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what this is. It's the last attack to see. We already know, due to our Supreme Court race, and now that we have Janet Protasiewicz in the Supreme Court, now it really opens up the discussion to seeing what fair maps look like in our state. And everyone knows that. And so this is a last-ditch effort to see what control they can have on the city and the county, quite frankly, everybody. One note that I do want to clarify for folks about what's going on with shared revenue in this bill. If it goes to referendum, your vote won't be on the policies. The policies will already be dictated if it is signed into law. And so if people want to actively try to prevent some of these things from happening, this is the time to reach out to your state representatives, your state senators, and letting them know, hey, we don't agree with this. This is the time to do it, because if it goes to referendum, what you guys will be voting on is if you want the funding.
So let me see, before we go to the phone lines, let me see if I have it right. So you're really saying representatives who may not be your own representative, but representatives who are opposed to
I'm saying everybody. So reaching out to people that not only, you know, are your representative, but also to other folks too. Maybe
does it matter?
At this point, it shouldn't. It's because this is too big of a bill that would have a generational impact, and this could be either really beneficial for the state, or there are going to be some groups that are going to be left behind.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Good morning. Has the population of the city of Milwaukee increased or decreased?
In what period of time, sir?
In the last 10 years.
It's decreased. So what's the point?
Let me talk, Earl. Has businesses developed or left? Like the two Walmarts that left.
So listen, man. You know, you're not focus in on what it is you want to say. You're not going to get forever.
Yes, Earl, and address the issue. Can I speak?
No, not if you're going to take an extended period of time to go around the conversation we're having. Focus in on what we're talking about.
You don't let me. Yes, I am, Earl. I'm getting to the point.
No. You're gonna have to get to the point quicker.
If the population decreases, you'll get more state funding. That's what people vote for. People vote for that. The only way it's going to change, you vote for somebody else in there. It's not going to change. You can blame it on to the state. You can blame it on a Republican. It all because crime. Nobody wants to
listen,
live in a
man.
Crime
listen, risk. Man. I clearly thank you very much for the call.
So, you know, I will respond to the caller. So for the caller that's listening, we're still on. Prior to being elected, I actually worked within the criminal justice system, did 2 years in pretrial working with people that had pending cases, and then working a year in reentry working with people that are coming out of prison. And right now, I'm also the ranking Democrat on public safety and criminal justice. When we talk about public safety has to be holistic. Yes, I understand that there has been increased crime, but those are due to so many other nuances. What are we doing to making sure that our family's invested in? What are we doing to address trauma and mental health? What are we doing to making sure, especially if we take reckless driving, putting driver's education back in the school system? There are so many other ways that should be preventative having more law enforcement.
Representative Drake, I concur with you on those things, but that has nothing to do with the fact that the state legislature and Robin Voss right now want to put stipulations on what happens with the resources that are going to be forthcoming if this referendum, if this goes to referendum,
right,
or whether or not it's allowed our representatives as themselves to be able to be the ones who should make the decisions on what happens with the resources that come into our city.
No, I agree. And the thing is, the heart of the issue is local governments have been asking for years now, just not the city of Milwaukee and the county, but also every local municipality for their due share, so that way it's not determined by the state. It's because it affects all types of services. We're talking about public health, public safety, education. You can go down the gambit. And so it boils down to, are you going to give this the funding? And if we're such a state that believes in local government, why on earth are we having strings attached to
it? We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open. That's State Representative Dora Drake. We'll be right back. Without your love, I don't want to see. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is, I was going to say Cheryl Lynn.
Oh, no.
But no, my guest is Dora Drake. She is the state representative of Milwaukee. Milwaukee County. Let me ask you, as with all the stress and pressure that's going on in these conversations, where do we go? Let's say the referendum is agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
I know right now the Republicans on the Senate level, now with Devin Lemahieu,
right, is
opposing Robin Voss and mm-hmm. saying that the referendum should not be a part of this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Do people really understand the magnitude on the state level? Your colleagues, do they?
They do. And I think that's why, at least for me.
I mean, Republican colleagues.
I will say the ones that I've talked to, they understand. And these are some of the Republicans that have been working on this in tandem very closely. So in talking with Representative Donovan, even Representative Kurtz about this and having, you know, some follow-up discussions after we voted on it, there are some things that we still disagree on, but they understand the magnitude of what would happen to the city if this didn't go through. And there are obviously things that, you know, at least in the assembly, you know, due to various speeches, there are different things that people didn't like on their side of the aisle. Obviously, there are things that we don't like on our side of the aisle, but the desire is to get to something. But it's heart-wrenching just because of if something isn't done, knowing what the outcome would be. And in the few conversations that I've had, even my own district, whether it was at my town hall that I hosted or speaking at some of the other town halls with some of the aldermen, people, when you tell them really like the full scope of it, are they absolutely upset with some of the things that are in the bill currently? Oh, absolutely. But in the same breath, there's also a realization of what happens if something doesn't happen. And so my hope and desire, what I will continue to say is, please continue with the negotiations, is because I want something done. And I will give credit to County Executive Crawley and Mayor Johnson, because being negotiations in quotations with Republican leadership, because it's hard being in those rooms and fighting for a city where you know we deserve our fair share for funding, but knowing that there may be something attached to it.
So I always say to people, mm-hmm. I could never do what you guys do because I could never be in the minority. Like you guys have been for such a long time, and then looking at almost a veto-proof.
Mm-hmm. I mean, only two or three of us are gone, then that's it. Yeah, so we have to be, we have to make sure we're ready at all times.
I mean, you know, it is just unconscionable what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, anybody who's willing to stay and deal with that, you know, take my hat off to them, because, you know, I'd be going out of there in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult space to be in, but I know for me, and I'm sure for many other of my colleagues, the reason why I stay, because we know so much is at stake. And so in terms of what we continue to go from here, my hope is that there's a better, quote-unquote, decision that's made on whatever compromise that looks like in the Senate. But if this is the time where people want things changed in the policy piece, this is the time to do it. It's because if it comes in a referendum as a vote, you won't be voting on the policies, and they're writing it that way. You will be voting on the funding or not. And so the fight to get some of these strings attached is now. And please, please stay engaged and reach out to your representatives, because everyone's going to be impacted by it. And this is the time where government really should be reflected of the people.
You know, there'll be people who say, well, the final arbiter of this really is the governor, mm-hmm. because he's got, you know, this veto-proof
right.
power
mm-hmm.
That they never thought when they gave it to Scott Walker, they thought it would forever be a Republican governor, right?
Right, exactly. And that's why they did the whole lame duck session. It removed a lot of the governor's powers,
Yeah, because they you know, unfortunately, these people who are there just don't want to do, many of them just don't want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate. And this is why gang involved, whether, especially for the discussion of fair maps, is like so important here. But this is the time to speak up.
So when do you think the vote's going to take place?
No idea. I know that this week they had the public hearing for the Senate. I don't know if, I have to double check to see if they're going to vote on it next week or the following week.
So here's why I reached out to Robin Voss for the last 5 months. Robin Voss, coward.
Oh boy.
To come on the air. He has not had the testicular fortitude to come on the air. He goes on conservative talk shows all over the place. I get it. He's a coward. And the fact that they can hold those hearings in places other than Milwaukee attests to the fact that they're cowards. Because since it's Milwaukee that's going to be impacted on a major scale, you would think that they would at least have the courage to bring that discussion and debate to the people who live in this city.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Am I right?
You're right.
You hear that, coward? You know, I mean, come on. Just the truth. And I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't reach out to him.
I know.
Right? But he can stand on conservative sacred ground and lie. But all of us are residents of the state of Wisconsin, whether we're in Milwaukee or Shawano.
That is true.
And we're all equal from that perspective. Am I right?
You are right.
Representative,
on that
too. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take it out on you.
Man, no, I know.
Listen, we got to go to a – we got to go. Thank you very much, Representative Drake. We'll bring you back again.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Got to go. Calvin, thank you. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you guys later.